I want you to turn this morning to Revelation chapter 17, and I'm going to be reading off the screen a little bit in the beginning, just to keep you going. We're going to talk this morning about the Babylonian harlot, or whore. And those are two legitimate words. They're used in Scripture. They're obviously in the dictionary, and I think we all understand what they mean. And so this morning I want for us to consider what God is saying here in this passage. In chapter 17 and 18, we have a divine view of religion during the seven-year tribulation period, but also looking back, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Please understand that the false religious systems of this world all have their root in the Garden of Eden. They all have their root in the fact that Eve and Adam listened to Satan. When Satan lied and said that if you will believe what I say, you will become gods. And there are still many religious systems in the world today that believe that. And they have all different forms. And some are fairly mild. And some are your neighbors. And some are your friends. And so it's very important this morning that we understand that Satan is behind all of this bad stuff. I would encourage you this morning to follow along with me. You might want to turn that one on as well, brother. In chapter 17 and 18, we have this divine view of religion that is during the seven-year tribulation period. In chapter 17, this is presented as ecclesiastical Babylon. And in chapter 18, which we'll study in a few weeks, it is talking about political Babylon. This is not the literal city of Babylon, nor is it just the country in which today we would find the old ruins of Babylon. But this is a picture, or that picture of that city and that which came out of that city is the setting behind all of this. Now, if you go back to Genesis 11, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but if you go back to Genesis 11, you remember that there was a time that people gathered together following Noah's flood in disobedience of God's command to fill the earth. They decided to all come together in one place called the Plain of Shinar, and there they built a ziggurat, a tower, if you please. It was not just the tower, it was a worship center of godlessness. And they said, let us build a tower that will reach unto heaven. And you know what happened? God came down, God confused their languages, God spread them apart, and then in the days of Peleg, God broke up the surface of the earth and began to move the continents apart. And you find all that in Genesis chapter 11. But out of that, and out of Nimrod, who is mentioned in that passage, out of Nimrod's followers came the mother-son cult. The mother-son cult. Now, I'm not going to explain all that. I'm just going to let you connect that with something that goes on today around the world, a religious system that has the mother as the chief person. And I don't need to say what it is. You all know what I'm talking about. But you'll understand that it had its foundation all the way back in the country that today would be called Iraq. In the old days, it was called Babylon. In Revelation, we also find four women. And this is very important to keep this in mind. The four women that are found in the book of Revelation are, number one, Jezebel. And Jezebel is that great wicked woman that married to King Ahab, the Jewish king, and brought about the cult that Elijah tried to destroy. You remember, he killed off 850 of her prophets and her priests in that contest on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 19. And then there is the woman who is clothed with the sun, and that's in chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Following that is the great harlot. And the great harlot is the one we're going to talk about this morning. And then one other woman that is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And guess what? That's you, the bride of Christ, the church. So those four, let me put it together a little differently. We have God's woman, Israel, in opposition to Satan's woman, Jezebel. We have Christ's woman, the bride, the church, in opposition to Antichrist and the harlot that we're going to talk about this morning. Notice in all these things that Satan is the great counterfeiter. Satan is the counterfeiter. As we said, he started in the Garden of Eden when he talked to Eve, and it all started there. Now, today we're going to look at verses 1 through 6, and then verse 18. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, who sits on many waters, and with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Have you ever wondered what that wine of her fornication might be? Can you think of a liquid that has corrupted the whole human race? When it comes out of the ground, it's kind of black. When it gets refined, it's turned into gasoline, plastic, fuel oil, heating fuel, and all kinds of things that are made with oil. Who controls the pricing on that oil? These guys over there in the Middle East, right? What was old Babylon? What was old Arabia? What was old Persia? They have a control that affects the world. Now, how many kings and how many presidents and how many leaders through the years have sold the soul of their country to get that precious stuff? It is precious. You wouldn't be in church this morning if it wasn't for that. Most of you have some clothing on that's made out of products of oil. All of us came today in a car. None of us walked that I know of. All of you came from some distance, whether it was a few blocks away or a next village or somewhere. And you'd be hard put to get here if it wasn't for that. So I'm not calling that sin, but I'm calling the wickedness that rules over that, definitely. But I'm not sure that's what this is talking about. I just threw that out there because I believe it fits along with this. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me, that is the angel, back to verse 1, he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. This is John speaking. Remember, John is the writer of the book of Revelation under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. On her head, or on her forehead, a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. I want you to think about this morning. We're going to put a few thoughts out of the passage right there. In verse 1, her judgment is announced. Secondly, in verse 2, her sins and her lovers are mentioned. They are the kings of the earth. They are the nations of the earth. They are the rulers of the earth down through the generations. Notice in verse 3, her dominion. She is connected with somebody that we were introduced to back in chapter 12. That is the scarlet beast. who we know from chapter 12 is none other than Satan, the devil, the blasphemer. And she is connected with Satan, the devil, the blasphemer, in this passage as well. And she rules because he enables her to rule down through all of these ages since the Garden of Eden. Notice her clothes and her sins in verse 4. Notice how she's dressed. Notice the words that are used. Gold. Precious stones. Pearls. Holding a golden cup full of the abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. Now I'm going to throw out here an explanation. I think it's in my notes somewheres, but I'm going to throw it out right now. We are talking about all forms of idolatry and false religion through the ages. Now I know that many of you have heard messages that focus this in on one faith group, whose headquarters is in the city of Rome. This is much more than that, my friends. This precedes that, and it is much more than that. I believe that it encompasses Islam. I have done a lot of listening to some experts on Islam who are now born-again Christians, who travel around and try to warn people. Islam, my friend, is the one who has killed the majority of believers all over the world. Islam is the one that has killed off millions of Christians in Africa and in the Middle East, and have a goal to do so around the world. Islam was behind the 9/11 World Trade Towers disaster that left just less than 3,000 people dead in that one-day attack. And all of us know exactly where we were when we heard that event on that day. We know where we first heard it. We remember the visual images that we saw hour after hour after hour on our news, and for week after week after week on our news. We all know about that. That is little compared to what they have done around the world to destroy Christianity, to destroy countries that would call themselves Christian. And she is a part of that. It is all part of this religious system that God refers to as the Babylonian harlot. Notice her name in verse 5. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abominations of the earth. Now, who put that name on her? God did. That's God's label for this wicked religious system that started in the Garden of Eden with Satan, that continued through Nimrod and Semiramis, the woman whose son died and who came back to life again. And that story started way, way back in Genesis 11 and has continued through until this day around the world. Notice in verse 6, her drunkenness. It says that she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. I refer you back again to all of the people who have been killed and martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ around the world, and especially in Africa. We who are of my generation, remember when you mention missions, your first thought is African missions. Your first thought is all the people being won to Jesus back in the 50s and in the 60s and the 70s in Africa. But since the 70s, all we hear about from Africa is all the Christians that are being killed, all the villages that have been burned and looted, and all the women that have been ravished and raped and killed off, all of the children that have been destroyed in those Christian villages and so forth throughout Africa and in many other places in the world. There are some countries today that are totally Islamic. They are not allowed Christianity in Indonesia. You are, if you're a Christian there, you are there at your risk of your life. And the same is true in many of the countries in Africa, and certainly in Arabia, and in Iraq, and Iran. And remember, Iraq is the old Babylon, Iran is the old Persia. There's a promise. And the promise is this, that the Babylonian whore and the beast are going to be destroyed. Verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns." And so we have the promise of an explanation. And starting at verse 8 and on to the end of the thing, we are going to have it all explained to us in great detail. The first thing I want you to think of is the scarlet beast. We were introduced to the scarlet beast in the past, as I said before, in Revelation chapter 12. But here we are also noticing him. Verse 3, and then verses 9 and 10. And so I'm going to read, starting at verse 8. "The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition." Now, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about Satan here. Now the terminology is referring to a ruling system, not just a person, but a ruling system. And we're going to pick up on that in just a moment, but let me read on. He said, "Here is the mind which has wisdom." Verse 9, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." Mountains. Now, I know some of you have been taught that this is the city of Rome in the country of Italy. That is not the case at all, and we'll explain that out in just a moment. "The seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings or kingdoms. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short time." I'm going to have a ball with that verse. Verse 11. "And the beast that was not, or was and is not, is himself also the eighth." Now we've got eight mountains. Or eight kingdoms. And notice, is of the seven and will go into perdition. So let us look at those verses for just a moment. Satan is behind all of this wickedness. We already know that. We've learned that. We've studied that. We'll see that again off and on. But I want you to notice that he also has people that he's used through the years. And we could go back to the book of Daniel, and the reference for Daniel's there. We're not going to do it this morning because of time constraints. But I want you to notice that Islam, as I've already said, best explains what we read here. Back in chapter 11 and verse 7. Back there in chapter 11 and verse 7. "Now when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them." Who is that talking about? If you remember our study of chapter 11 some months ago, you remember that these are the two witnesses that are witnessing for Jesus Christ during the tribulation period in Jerusalem. They may or may not be Moses and Elijah, or Moses and Enoch, or Elijah and Enoch. They may be like those guys, because they're going to do things that Moses did. They're going to do things Elijah did. And they're going to get killed. Now, there's only two people that did not get killed or did not die, and that is Enoch and Elijah, correct? So it may be them. We don't know. Many books have been written about that, trying to prove what the particular person believes these guys are. Whoever they are, they're going to get killed off in verse 7. By who? By the beast. Well, he's the one that I believe is properly called anti-God. Now you say, wait a minute, everybody else calls him Antichrist. I'm well aware of that. I'm not one of those guys. He's anti-God. Antichrist is the false prophet. Why do I say that? Because the false prophet is Jewish. And Jesus was Jewish. And Jesus is the true prophet. Remember back in Deuteronomy, and I quote this often to you in our study here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord our God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. This is Moses speaking by the inspiration of God. The Lord our God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, Jewish. Unto him you will hearken. And then it's repeated again in the 19th verse in Deuteronomy 18. And you remember that I said back over in John chapter 1 that the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders came to John the Baptist and said, are you the prophet that should come? And he said, no. But there's one among you, and I wonder if Jesus wasn't standing there listening on the edges. Because he said, there's one among you whose shoe lashes I am not worthy to loosen. So John the Baptist said Jesus is the prophet. And Jesus called himself the prophet once. So that's why I say that that's the guy, the false prophet during the tribulation, beast number two, is the one that ought to be called Antichrist. Beast number one, out of the sea, or out of the land, out of the seas of the nations, non-Jewish, Gentile, is the one that should be called anti-God. And we've already looked to see how those two guys work together. They're partners. They're partners. One is the religious leader, one is the political leader. Beast number one is political. Beast number two is religious. And he is the culmination of all the religious wickedness of the world, all the perversion, all of the religious systems of the world. What is the biggest and strongest religious system in the world now? Islam. Islam. Don't you wish you could honestly say Christianity? It should be, but it's not anymore. Not even the pseudo Christian groups added together with real Christianity can come up to what Islam is at this moment in time. And so you have to factor in that fact when we look at this. Now, how about the mountains? Don't you love it? The mountains. We're going to look at them if this thing will cooperate. All right, the kingdoms of the world as God states them in relation to his people Israel. Number one was Egypt. Number one, mountain number one, or kingdom number one was Egypt. Kingdom number two was Assyria. Assyria was a terribly strong and wicked group. Where did they come from? Up in the area of Ukraine and Syria and northwest Babylon or northwest Iraq, where the Kurds now live. All of that area at one time was Assyria, not Syria, Assyria. Number three kingdom that ruled over Israel, and they gave Israel no amount of grief, was Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar came and in two or three campaigns destroyed the Jews and carted them off. Destroyed their temple, destroyed their city, carted them off to Babylon. And God said through Jeremiah that that would be for 70 years. Daniel read Jeremiah's writings. And he did a little mental calculation and he said, oh, this is year number 70. And so he goes to the Persian king that was then ruling, and he said, God has said it's time for you to let the Jews go back to Israel. And he agreed. In fact, it was prophesied ahead of time that he would do that for the Jews. And he sent them back. And the exiles got an opportunity to go back to the land and to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. And you remember they did so under Ezra and Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and others. So Babylon was mountain or kingdom number three. Now remember, all of the things that God says here has to relate to Israel. Israel is the center of the world. Now I understand when you look at a globe, that's not the middle of the globe. But God's globe is different in His mind than yours and mine. And God says Israel is the middle of the world. Israel is mine, God says. Jerusalem is mine. They're constantly fighting over whether it's Palestinian or whether it's Jewish or whether it ought to be divided. Let me tell you something. God has an opinion on that because He said that is my city. And He says that Temple Mount is my place of worship. And it's been defiled all these years since the Ottoman Turks were Islamic, built the Dome of the Rock. I don't know whether God's going to knock it off there or God's going to get them to allow the Jew to build their temple right next to it where it belongs. And that may be the core of the covenant that is made, according to Daniel chapter 9, that may be the covenant or the core of the covenant that is made between this anti-God guy, this European dictator, if you please, this beast number one, and the nation of Israel. Because there's a covenant made. It's made for a 7-year period. In the middle of that, the anti-God and the anti-Christ guys are going to break the covenant and they're going to put up an image, and we studied that already in chapter 13. They put up the image of the anti-God guy and they tell the whole world that they've got to worship it and they've got to receive a mark in their forehead or in their hand, and never mind whether it's number 666, whatever it is, the Bible calls it by different names in different places. That's another study. We can't get into that today. All right. Kingdom number four was Persia. They took over after Babylon. They came in. Babylon fell under Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. And that was Persia. Persia fell to Greece. Now you remember the Greece was a great world power for a little while, under the leadership of a man by the name of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great died at the age of 33 after having conquered everything that he knew was available to conquer. Now, we know that he missed a few things, like Africa and China. He didn't quite reach China, but he did get to India before he gave up and died. And it was divided among, his kingdom was divided among his four generals. And we've talked about that in the past also. That gradually faded, and the Roman Empire grew. And at Jesus' time, the Roman Empire was in charge of all of that. Then after that was, and that was what was going on during John's time, by the way. And we read that in that passage there. And let me read it again. There are also seven kings or kingdoms. Five have fallen. What are the five that fell? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. Number six is the one that was in existence when John wrote this. So that is the one that is. Verse 10 I'm at. And the other has not yet come. And when he comes, it will continue for a little while. Now, there was one that came right after John, and that is the Ottoman Empire. It came from the Islamic people in Turkey, and they are the ones who built the Dome of the Rock. That was the Ottoman Empire. John was living during the Roman Empire. The Ottoman followed John's time. And then there is the Eighth Kingdom. Now, the Eighth Kingdom is anti-God beast number one's rule. It is ready to pop up at any moment. But before it pops up, guess what? We're going to pop out of here. Amen? We're going to be caught up in the air in the rapture. We're going to be taken home to be with Jesus. And then that contract or that covenant is going to be signed with a world leader. We don't know who he is. I'm sure he's alive today. But we don't know who he is. There are many world leaders. There are many people waiting in the wings to take over the world. And what will make it easier than anything else is the removal of all the Christians at one time. And the world is immediately going to look for leadership. First of all, they're going to look for an explanation of where did the Christians go. And somebody's going to come up with the brave idea that something good happened to all them. They disappeared and got out of our hair. We ought to be happy. And someone is going to take over leadership. And the world is going to gather around this one guy. And he's going to be satanically inspired, satanically controlled, and he is the beast. And his cohort, the false prophet, is the religious beast. And he and his religious system will dominate for a little while, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We're going to quit there because of the time. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. Gracious God, we come before your presence this morning and we thank you so much that we have been made a part of your family, a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy you have saved us. In regeneration, Holy Spirit. And Father God, I pray today that if there's a man, a woman, a boy or a girl in our midst who has not yet surrendered their heart and life to you, have not trusted you as their Lord, their God, and their eternal Savior, that you would minister in their heart today, convict them, and might they surrender to you and become the one that you have called into your family along with the rest of us. We ask that your work will be accomplished, your purposes will be accomplished, your Holy Spirit will have freedom to work through our lives, and might we be obedient unto righteousness this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.